Okay, if you want to open up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and seeing is believing, or is it? In the 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, a well-known scripture, we walk by faith, not by sight. And I thought about doing a demonstration first to blindfold our dear Pastor Philip and make him walk around the room with a blindfold on. Does he have faith to walk around without hitting a chair or falling over? I think I'd decide against that. But if you were like blindfolded, now we walk by faith, not by sight, and we're asked to run the 100-meter hurdles or the steeplechase. Now we know that we don't have to fear where we are going spiritually, because we know that the Lord is helping us, and He will guide us. He will help us through. And the things that we see are not always what they really, really are. And our sight, it's a wonderful thing to be able to be able to see in the natural. It's also important. How would we be able to drive a car without having the sense of vision that we're able to see where we're going? It'd be quite difficult to tell the police officer if we're blind. Sorry, officer, I'm blind, but I'm driving. Would be quite a strange thing to do. And there's many other things which we wouldn't be able to do if we do not see. But that's in the natural. And in the world, there are many, many famous blind people. And there's one occupation in particular that they're famous for. And a lot of them are musicians. And think of Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder, and Andrea Bocelli, and a few others. They don't have vision, the sight. They're not able to see, but their ears, their senses are heightened, and their ears, and they use that. But we're talking about seeing is believing, or is it? I found in my walk, often being able to see does not really mean that I have the faith. Seeing something, you believe what you see, and often with faith, it works contrary to that, because you know what you see, and it's very difficult to change what you see, to believe that can be different. We cannot imagine it being different, because what we see is right in front of us. We believe what we see. And the part where it's God's asking, do you have faith to believe that what you see can be different? Now, if it's a sickness, or if it's a certain situation that we're in, do we believe that that can be changed by prayer, by our faith, by our belief in God? And let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Also, wonderful verses there. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we have the faith and knowing that we have it, that we've received it, even though we may not have seen it yet. And then in verse 2, for the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear or are visible. And were any of you there when the worlds were made, when the land was made and all the trees? No one's hand went up. No one's that old. No. Did we see all these great mountains come out and being made there? No, we didn't see that, but we weren't there. But we do see God's creation now, and we see His greatness now, and we have faith by reading the Word that those were created by God, as it's written in His Word. And many people don't believe it like that. They believe, Big Bang, and everything came together and all mingy mushy and started, and voila, there we go. But we know it was a little bit different. God created it from nothing, His word, His light, His goodness, and through faith we believe that those things are true, and all the people said. However, through our faith, we know God created everything in this world, which we now see, and Now, I know for myself that often I have an answer or a solution to a problem, and I can see exactly how I'm going to solve it. I know this is, you know, I've got a problem and I'm going to do A, B, and C, and that problem's going to go away. And I don't seek the Lord, or you seek the Lord after you've already got the solution in your mind, and you think that's the way it's going to work, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but there's no glory to God in that. And yet in other circumstances where in a spot of bother, I have no idea how I'm going to solve it, I get down on my knees and pray and just, Lord, I have no idea what to do. And there was a couple of situations just in the last year or two where just had no idea how it would end up, how God would get us out of that situation. And it was a great time to pray and a great time to you know, stand on faith, knowing, okay, I don't see what the solution is, but I know that the solution is there, and God's the only one that has that solution. And it happened. And a miracle happened. And we just know that by faith, you know, we can have that trust, because God promised. He promised, you know, we'll be blessed. Like we heard in the scripture this morning there, that we don't need to worry about the clothes that we have on, or the food or drink that we get. The Lord will provide, as long as we provide, you know, to Him, our prayers, our supplications, our faith, that we just keep on walking despite whatever may happen in the natural. You know, sometimes it happens directly, and sometimes it's a prolonged experience where we, you know, go weeks or even months or even years before we get an answer. But we know if we stay with the Lord, we stay trusting in Him, the answer will be there, and sometimes differently than what we expect ourselves, but it's much better than we ever hoped, nor the people said. Luke chapter 18. Along the way, God gives us subtle hints, sometimes very subtle, sometimes not very subtle. And Luke chapter 18, this is, you know, the story of Jesus healing Bartimaeus, the blind man. And we pick it up in verse 35 of Luke chapter 18. And it came to pass, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, this is Jesus, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. He was hearing, didn't see anything, he was blind, sorry. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He knew, you know, this Jesus of Nazareth was coming, and he knew from what he's heard before that this is the son of David. And the son of David, you know, this is the one that was prophesied that he would come to Israel to bring good tidings. And he knew that he was the son of David. And even, you know, most of the leaders didn't accept that he was the son of David, because this was some scruffian from Galilee, some fisher person, like the rest of them. But this blind person knew that he was the son of David. And in verse 9, he's pretty much put down and told to shut up. And they which went before rebuked him, and he should hold his peace. And he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, he wasn't going to be put down. He knew that this is the son of God, that this son of David is going to, he had this faith that this son of David was going to do something special. And no matter what other people said, you know, to be quiet or not to go on, he was very persistent. And if we look back at our own walks, certainly at the start of mine, you know, I was people tried to keep me away from the fellowship, tried to say that it was not a good idea to be part of, well, this organization or sect, because we didn't really know much about it. But I knew in my heart that it was the right place to be, because God was confirming His word with miracles. Like Suzette said in a testimony this morning, you know, by two or three witnesses, you know, you believe. And it was, you know, the answer to prayer, a healing, and then another healing. I just knew these things confirmed that the word of God is true. I received the Spirit, I received the healing, I got an answer, and it was just completely amazing and dumbstruck that, you know, this God who created heaven and earth was thinking little old me here in Perth, Western Australia. And it was quite amazing where, you know, other people were suddenly interested in my spiritual well-being, thinking, no, I don't think this is a good idea. Why don't you go to one of these, you know, big, huge buildings where, you know, millions of people go to and everyone knows, you know, it's the place to be. Well, it's not. And I knew it wasn't. And even though, you know, in Holland, went to my family for a Saturday, asked to be dropped off in Dordrecht at the church. They bypassed Dordrecht altogether to take me back to the place I was staying. This is Gorinchem, which is another 30 kilometres away from Dordrecht. And then they said, don't go there. They dropped me off. I dropped my bag off inside and got the train and went to Dordrecht. And it was great. I loved it. And over the years, they have seen, you know, the blessings of my life and the life with Lucia and also with my children, where they have seen that, oh, these people aren't so weird and aren't that strange, and you're not throwing away your future, and that you actually have a meaningful life and stability and blessings. You think, exactly. That's what I said from the start. But not knowing something, not being able to see something, not having the faith to be able to see, was very difficult for people who are not spiritual and not part of the church to understand. And having that spirit was, you know, just great experience. And I think we've all had similar experiences in our own lives. And, you know, this person was persistent. We have to be persistent, and we have to go through fiery trials sometimes to, you know, to get the victory or see what the Lord is, the miracle. And the miracle happens here as well for Bartimaeus in verse 40. He got Jesus' attention, and Jesus stood still, and he commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Jesus probably already knew what was wrong with him, because he was brought to him. He couldn't quite, he was blind because he didn't really know where to go. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. That's very simple. Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. He didn't see Jesus. He knew that Jesus was there because he heard it. And by his faith, you know, he was healed. And a great miracle was done. You know, by faith, he received his sight. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So these people who 2 minutes, 5 minutes before were saying, no, keep quiet, you're causing too much ruckus, they were now glorifying God for the miracle that was done. And there again, you know, the persistence which this Bartimaeus had receiving his sight, and those others then also, you know, started glorifying God. And it's, you know, it's good to keep in remembrance, you know, things that we've gone through. I know a sister in Holland who writes down all the miracles which has happened in her life and the life of her family, always to look back at the things what God has done. You know, in the 5th of May, 1988, you know, this happened. Or going back other times, you know, going back into this diary, really, of what the Lord has done. And it's great to be able to do that. I didn't do that, but it's good to look back at what the Lord has done. And when we, you know, just tell our testimonies, these things come back in our minds. Oh, yeah, this happened. Oh, yes, this happened. And someone else's testimony puts us in remembrance of things that happened to us. And just the last scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this time. 2 Corinthians 4. And we all go through trials, sometimes fiery trials and sometimes very fiery trials. Yet, you know, we've pulled through. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. And it's through our conviction. And, you know, despite what may happen and despite we may feel that it's not working, we know the Lord is the one that can make it work. And through faith, we continue on, even though that glimmer of light is only that small in a dark, dark room where we only see this small keyhole in the end where there's light coming out. We just know that's where we have to be. That keyhole, that little light, that's where we need to be. And once that door is opened, the light comes through, that we have that victory. And it's just an amazing that we can have that the Lord leads the way. And we pick it up in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4. Just before, Paul talks about trials being in the ministry and in our own lives. Persecuted but not forsaken. We're cast down but not destroyed in verse 9. And verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's why we are who we are. Jesus gave himself that we may have that life. And in verse 16, for which cause we faint not or don't give up, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now our flesh and blood, that will pass away, but our inward man or woman, notice where the spirit is renewed every day. We read the word, we pray, we come to the meetings, we are built up, we are spiritually made stronger, waiting for the Lord's return. And verse 17, for our light affliction, some lighter, some heavier, but our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now we've got this great gift which is awaiting us, which is eternal life. And what we go through now is just a snippet of, and it doesn't really matter in the end of it, because we'll have a resurrection, we'll have eternal life. And finishing up, there is a great future for us, and although we don't always quite see it, we know it's there for us. Now, we don't see heaven, we don't see where we're going, but we know that God is coming back, Jesus Christ is coming back, and God has prepared a place for us, and that's where we're going to go. And verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's what we look to. God's kingdom, the new Jerusalem, which is going to be ours. We don't know when, but we've got to be ready now. All the people said. Thank you, Pastor Philip.